You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with Rick Franzi and Doug Geveller.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Critical Mass, the radio show, streaming live on octalkradio.net. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m., we bring you an interactive one-hour show with top business thought leaders from the Orange County business community. This show is dedicated to topics that CEOs and business owners need to know more about in order to take their business to the next level. It's really an extension of the CEO peer groups that my business partner Rick Franzi and I have been creating and facilitating for 16 years here in Orange County, California, all under the banner of Renaissance Executive Forums. These forums, much like the radio show, are an opportunity for like-minded business executives to meet and work on problems that are common to all businesses today. If you'd like to know more about CEO peer groups, you need to check out Rick's book with the same title as the radio show, Critical Mass, now in its third printing, and I would highly recommend that you add it to your reading list. You can find it on Amazon.com. Just put in Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I, under author, and it'll take you right to it. Well, our guest today is Ed Bray of Berman Benefits, and Ed is going to talk to us about employee benefits and health care. Ed, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thanks, Doug. Great to be here.
Oh, hey, I'm excited to have you here today. This is going to be an interesting interview here that we've got going, and I know you've got lots of great information to share with our audience. So let's just kick it right off and tell us a little bit about what you did before Burnham.
Sure. I actually started my career really in school, and I spent the better part of the 90s building up a business background for myself. I gained my undergraduate in business management, went right off to law school, focused on the business side there, and then got my MBA. From there, I most recently have worked out here in Orange County managing and directing benefits programs for companies such as Apria Healthcare, the Irvine Company, and most recently before joining Burnham, First American.
Okay. Interesting companies that you've worked for there.
With their own unique experiences.
Yeah, we have something in common. I had a little stint for 7 years with the Irvine Company myself way back when.
Great.
So tell me a little bit about why the world needs a firm doing what Burnham does.
Yeah, Burnham is a broker consultant, and as many people I'm sure have seen, not only are employee benefits a critical part of employees or any employer's attraction and retention model, and Burnham was formed to make sure that employers could develop and maintain what oftentimes we'll hear as effective, cost-efficient, compliant benefit programs. But certainly with health care reform passing in March of 2010, so a little earlier this year, it really has beefed up. Burnham specifically has beefed up its resources in the areas of compliance. And the reason being is with healthcare reform, there's going to be many compliance-related activities. And me specifically filling this role, I filled it about a month and a half ago, and it was under the guise of, Ed, you're going to come in as our director of compliance and make sure that not only the broker consultants but also our clients understand health not only general compliance issues but very specifically healthcare reform and really putting them in a good spot and making it as easy as it can be for clients to put the necessary provisions into place.
So if I understand it right, so the position that you're in now is really a new position basically generated as a result of the healthcare legislation that passed recently. Is that correct?
It is. It's a very fair statement, and I think other companies are doing the same. But specifically with Burnham, it had actually been a conversation process that the owner Chris Allison and I had for a number of months, knowing that healthcare reform was on the horizon, and then once it hit, came over here as quickly as possible to really start making sure that we were on top of it for all of our respective clients.
Okay. So tell our audience, or share with our audience, a little bit more about Burnham. You made some comments about what they do. Explain really what a brokerage consulting firm really is all about.
Sure. Well, Burnham Benefits is Orange County based, and there's about 28, let's call them broker consultants and supporting staff. Really, in simplest terms, making sure that employers facilitate the process by which an employer would put an employee benefits program into place for their company. So they'll do everything from work with the carriers on the renewals, they'll handle the compliance side, they'll help with the communication side. So really it's a facilitation process to where the broker consultants have a direct pipeline to the carriers, and through that respective relationship can really work to put in very, you know, oftentimes individually or specifically tailored benefit programs for the clients we have out there. And Burnham's really focus is on the employer marketplace of anywhere from 100 to 5,000 employer groups, 5,000 employee groups.
And explain for me, how does this differ from, you know, if I've got a company and I want to, you know, start to get some quotes and help me design a benefit program, what are my choices of the different kinds of firms I would go to, and what is it that Burnham's doing that's different?
Sure. There are a number of broker consulting firms out there. Certainly, they all are very similar in some way, shape, or form to which I just described. I think, you know, one of the reasons I chose Burnham, and one of the reasons I think Burnham stands out, is really their client-specific efforts. And I think when you take a look at that and say, okay, you know, really, what are some of the statistics that you think might differentiate them? How can you sort of prove that? Burnham has a 97% client retention rate. So they've really proven through the clients that they've gained that not only do they provide great services to them, but through that, they're able to hold on to them. I think another thing that is a great testament to Chris Allison in running the firm is that she's got a very good business sense to know what she needs when things are coming up. She's very proactive as opposed to reactive. And I think, you know, just speaking to my position in terms of the director of compliance position, she knew what was coming up. And just in the first month and a half here, I've spent a tremendous amount of time not only with the broker consultants, but even in front of their clients, getting them, quote unquote, ready for what we're going to see in healthcare reform.
Okay. 97% retention rate. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it is something that they've been very proud of. And, you know, as I said, from afar, when I was looking to take this next step in my career, that certainly figured into the mix as, you know what, they really do put a good product out there. And then once that product's out there, they're able to make the necessary changes as different things come up to continue to keep the client base satisfied and appeased.
Okay. So, you know, share a little bit with the audience about, you know, what in your business background, what experience has really impacted the way in which you operate today?
Yeah, and I think it's a great question, because I think one of the things that allows me to feel not only feel comfortable in this role, but really provide a good value add to Burnham and the clients of Burnham is my educational background, which by going through the whole business side and going to law school, I really feel comfortable reading and interpreting the healthcare reform legislation. But I think even more so important is the practical basis that I've brought to this role. And what I mean by that is that by working for 12 years on the client side in the benefits positions. I actually came up the ladder in benefits. So I've been, you know, at the analyst level and made myself my way up to the director level, that I can take a look at some of this health, these healthcare reform provisions, and not only really know and understand what an employer should be focusing on, but also knowing the ones that, you know, certainly are important but don't need from a priority standpoint to be handled as job one. Can I give you a specific example?
I was just going to ask you. You're way ahead of me.
Oh, perfect. One of the things, and you know, I enjoy telling this story. You know, many years, benefit professionals have spent selling participation in the company's flexible spending account. The reason being is because, well, let me start off by saying they've been selling participation by saying that if an employee has any flexible spending account funds remaining at the end of the year, they could use those funds to pay for over-the-counter drugs. That's the Advil. That's the go to CVS and pick up some Advil and some cold medication, et cetera, so you wouldn't lose that money. The flexible spending account is a benefit to where if you don't use all the money that you've put aside for the year, you lose it. It doesn't come back to you. Well, starting in 2011, over-the-counter drugs without a prescription won't be reimbursable underneath a flexible spending account program. So from where I sit, the practical side, when I was on the client side, that's one of those things that I know it's going to be absolutely critical to communicate to that information to employees, or else you're going to have the situation where an employee is coming to you and ultimately saying, hey, I tried to go to CVS and pick up some Advil and I can't get it, and you're going to say, remember, I sent you the information that it isn't going to be covered anymore. Well, sometimes employees either didn't receive that information or may have forgotten that, you know, that was the case, and it could create a bigger issue. So from communicating, it's going to be absolutely critical to communicate over-the-counter drugs would not be reimbursable anymore starting in 2011.
And Ed, from your perspective, who is it that's going to educate the consumer, meaning the employees in this case, as to what all these new regulations and changes really mean?
You know, it's going to be the employer, and really because they like to be the forward-facing communication vehicle to their respective employees, that's where the trust and the confidence and the credibility needs to be gained. However, I think in arming the respective companies with the information, not only, let's say, the information, but the practical bases around it, and trying to make the distribution of this information as methodical and organized as possible, that's going to be absolutely critical, because if clients overwhelm their employees with information, it's going to be either information overload very quickly, or there's going to be the, you know what, I just can't see another piece of benefits information, whereas we're managing that against this is very important information that they're going to need to receive. So when we're working with our clients, we're paying a very particular eye to making sure that that methodicalness, that organized, that understandable format is put into their hands so that they can pass that information down to their employees.
Okay, good. So tell me, what are some of the ways that healthcare reform, I mean, you know, everybody's asked this question and everybody's going to keep asking this question until we really understand it, but how is it going to impact the employers and for how long?
Yeah, I think, you know, let's take it, I guess, from the 100,000-foot level to start. There are numerous provisions in, and I'll refer to the acts here, the United States Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which is now being referred to as PACA, and the Healthcare and Education Reconciliation Act, which came right after PACA. They contain numerous provisions that will affect employers and more specifically employees. When you take a look at those pieces of legislation, you're going to see information that not only affects all employers, but you're going to be looking at some that affect small employers, large employers, maybe fully insured, self-insured, retirees if you have them, collective bargaining agreements. So those are some of the ways that that healthcare reform will affect them from, let's, as I said, the 100,000 foot level. From a how long perspective, the first provisions took effect in June 2010, but the way that they're written, they're going to continue through 2018. So what I would say to that is it's going to be very important for employers of all shapes and sizes to thoroughly review the legislation and understand what and when the healthcare reform provisions will affect them.
Sounds like a huge task.
It is. Just as a side note, as I was sending something out today, I got a little piece of communication back from someone in our group that simply said, "Does your head hurt yet?" and we're just at the beginning of this. So, I'm taking it all in stride and really making sure that, you know, we try and make this as easy as it can be for our clients. But there's certainly a lot of work to be done.
And, you know, my experience with so many with different kinds of government rules and regulations is that many times these acts get passed, but the sort of how-to manual that the government puts out on how they're going to interpret it and what it's going to really mean, they come much later. Is it really clear now as to what the rules are, or are they still sort of being written as we talk?
Well, I think, you know, from the standpoint of the acts being out there, that's, let's call it the skeleton. The act is there, and it's clear in some sense, but not in others. And so to directly to your point, I think that what we'll need to see, and we're starting to see it already, is further guidance and interpretation from the respective regulatory agencies that healthcare reform is being governed by. That's the IRS in some instances, DOL, Health and Human Services. So what we're doing, and we're helping facilitate this for employers, is that we're trying to grab any guidance and interpretation we can and get it over to the employers so that they can understand the impact to their company, not only from a cost and a communication and otherwise perspective, but then what's the most effective way that we can introduce them. For example, until very recently, June 14th, employers had to determine the true definition of grandfathering. And grandfathering is one of the provisions that speaks to a plan remaining intact to some of the health care reform provisions, i.e., they won't have to put these provisions into place if they're deemed grandfathered. Well, for a few months there was some interpretation and guidance that the employer had to take off of the acts themselves, which were published in March, to say whether or not, to think, maybe we'll be grandfathered by taking these actions, maybe we won't. And then the June 14th language came out, and some employers threw their hands in the air and said, hey, you know, we thought we were doing the right thing, but it looks like we're not grandfathered. There is some pieces in that regulatory clarification that speaks to how an employer might be able to get grandfathering back in between that March and June period before they put out the clarification. So this is the kind of stuff that we're looking at. And from a Burnham perspective, I think the challenge is making sure that clients understand that this situation is causing a wait-and-see or a best conservative guess approach when reviewing the next steps for many of these provisions. And what we'll continue to do is monitor that and get them the information as we can.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about a current unresolved challenge that you're facing. You know, so many times, especially in an interview like this, we're always talking about the wonderful things that we're doing and how well business is going, but you know, no matter how well a business is going, there's still challenges every day. What is one of the major ones that you're facing at Burnham?
I think the major challenge is actually with handling the respective interpretation of healthcare reform. I'll tell you, I spoke with an attorney last week, and someone in my group spoke with an attorney last week on a respective provision, and we were getting two different forms of interpretation. So, you know, then the question is, you know, how do we reconcile that to ultimately feed an answer back to our client? And it's not because of, you know, good attorney, bad attorney, or good consultant, bad consultant. It really is, there's so much gray area in this respective legislation that we're making our best guess with regards to how to interpret it, and then let's say we're speaking to our clients about the fact that there are many gray provisions, and based on their culture, philosophy, their risk tolerance, et cetera, we're coming up with what we think the best answer is for them. But I can tell you, you know, it's frustrating from probably an attorney side, our side to an extent, and certainly the client side, that there isn't enough interpretation and guidance to make what we would all like to say is black and white answers. So I would say the challenge is making sure that the clients know and understand that we're all in this together and we're doing the best we can. And
I wish there was a clear level of comfort in that answer, but it sounds like we're all going to learn as we go along here, and that's all just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, certainly I've been speaking, you know, just even in that answer to the employer level, but really at the end of the day, this legislation was put in place for individuals, and in the specific context of which I'm speaking today, for employees. And so really, they're going to be the ones that are going to have to learn and understand that, you know, this is still very fluid, and their employers are doing the best that they can with the information that they've received.
Okay. You know, based on this kind of uncertainty and the fact that there's so many provisions for an employer to be aware of and take action on, what recommendation, what advice would you give an employer as to how to manage this over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I would say that there are really four things that stand out to me. And, you know, when I speak of managing, I try and, I know these words are somewhat cliche, but the effective and efficient. The best we can do effectively and efficiently over the next few years are really these four things. I think number one, I would really emphasize the fact that the employer should use a broker consultant who not only has the ability to understand the legislation on its face, but also can assist with the tough employer benefit program decisions, some of those interpretations, et cetera, that I've mentioned, and then be able to provide a practical implementation and communication plan that will appease not only senior management but the employees. So really finding a good broker consultant that can help them with all of that. I think the second piece would be spending a significant amount of time developing a comprehensive communication strategy and plan, because this is not only going to be an instance where benefit professionals are going to be getting questions from senior management, for example, how is this going to affect our business, what should we do, what are our competitors doing, et cetera, but also employees. And the reason I say that more than ever, because not only will these healthcare reform provisions affect employees, but employees are going to have more exposure to this than they ever have with benefits. And the reason I say that is because not only will they be seeing it in materials that are required to give out as a result of healthcare reform, but with the elections coming up, we're going to see a lot more of the success stories, the other type stories on TV. And then certainly in a few years, we're going to have this exchange opportunity where employees can go through an exchange, a state-run exchange, to pick up healthcare insurance. So I think, you know, spending the time to develop a communications plan, a good strategy and plan, is absolutely critical. I think a third one would be building a fluid or flexible healthcare reform implementation action plan, incorporating your short-term and long-term benefit strategies, and focusing on the year-by-year action items. I think I would not encourage an employer to think too far ahead all the way up to 2018 with regards to the provisions, given the fact that healthcare could change significantly in the future. The reason I say that is because we've got some effective dates in the future on their face. There's going to be court challenges between now and the time some of these would be introduced. We certainly have elections coming up, and then the regulatory guidance and interpretation that I've mentioned. We're going to certainly see more of that. So I think, generally speaking, you know, putting on my benefits professional hat for a second, I think it would be impractical to try and do 7 years of benefits work right now anyway. So I think really focusing on what needs to be done for 2010 and 2011 would be the next thing. And then the last thing would be establishing and maintaining credibility with the functional areas that work within the employer. And the reason I say that is because based on the compliance requirements we're going to be seeing with healthcare reform, HR and benefit professionals more so than ever will be counting on the resources around them. And when I say resources, I speak to finance, accounting, HRIS, legal, payroll, IT. More, as I said, more than ever before will they count on them. For example, payroll and IT and HRIS might need to do some work around what would be what's called a new W-2 reporting requirement. So all of that said, I think that given the breadth of work coupled with the continual challenges with implementing this legislation based on what we're going to see or could see in the future, it's going to be absolutely vital for HR and benefit professionals to talk to those functional areas now and let them know things are going to go up, they're going to go down, they're going to go left and right with the healthcare reform implementation before they go straight. And they need to for them to understand that now because they don't want to create uncomfortable situations or credibility issues in the future with regards to those respective groups. So I really think those four things would really be critical for an employer to think about right now to get going on healthcare reform on the right foot.
You know, if I can, one of the themes that seems to be kind of consistent in those recommendations is that you really can't plan too far ahead right now because there's so much unknown, undecided, uninterpreted, and that's kind of a strange place to be in when an employer is trying to put together a plan that's going to last long term, and you know nobody wants their health plans changed every few years.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't want to oversell the fact of interpretation and guidance. There's certainly some good black and white information regarding the provisions that need to be introduced and implemented. But with regards to some of the information that's necessary, let's say, to supplement putting in those provisions effectively, that's where I think employers are sitting now and waiting for respective information to come out that will help them make the, let's call it, quote unquote, right decision. I think what the employers are afraid of is ultimately doing all of this work and then maybe having to back things out in certain instances because maybe they didn't do it right.
Okay. Thank you very much for explaining that.
Sure.
Well, share with us a painful business lesson that you've learned in managing healthcare reform on the broker consultant side.
You know, I think that the hardest part is the information becoming outdated that quickly. And what I mean by that is that I'll stand in front of you and a number of people and I'll talk about healthcare reform today. And I'll literally come back to my desk later today and there could be something new that either supplements or changes what I've just told you. And it's funny because we work with a number of different groups that provide information on the healthcare reform, any new information received, et cetera. And what I really look for first when I look at the information is the date. Because what we're seeing is that things are moving so fast and there's so much that we want to make sure that our clients understand, and anybody who's listening to us understands that there's so much volatility and fluidity in the healthcare reform world right now that something that we say today could change tomorrow. And, you know, making sure everyone understands that. So it's not just, you know, oh, we must have received bad information from them because you're telling me this and I heard that from them. The irony is yesterday my information might have been right and tomorrow my information might be wrong type thing. And that's the case of still waiting to learn information coupled with us trying to make a reasonable interpretation of the information we have at the time.
So given all that, Ed, you know, what should employers be doing right now?
I think, you know, taking to sort of a subset of what I had mentioned before with regards to, you know, how employers should look at it from, let's call it, the 100,000-foot level over the next few years, I think literally as we sit here today, I can't stress enough making sure that the employers are using the services of a broker consultant who has the capabilities and resources to guide and assist them through the respective strategy and implementation plans that they're going to need to build. They're going to need that resource to ultimately help them get through all of this. If anything, helping them to manage through the provisions themselves, talking to senior management, you know, i.e. what should I say to senior management, what do I need to communicate to employees, what should I be thinking about, etc. I think number two, I think we've talked about grandfathered a little earlier. I didn't get into it specifically, but if an employer is deemed if an employer's plan or plans are deemed grandfathered, they'll be allowed to be exempt from some of the health care reform provisions that start to take effect as soon as September 23rd, 2010. So what an employer is going to want to do is right now take a look at their plans and work with, again, their broker consultant or whomever they work with to deem, to determine whether or not their plans can be deemed grandfathered. And that's looking at each plan on its face. I think the third thing is focusing on that communication piece and working with, or working on how to communicate effectively to senior management and employees regarding healthcare reform. And I think the last piece, which I can't stress enough, is speaking with the functional areas in the company that will assist with the healthcare reform implementation efforts. Because as a benefits professional, we can't literally do all of the healthcare reform provision work ourselves. We're really going to be counting on those other groups. And we're going to need to get in front of those groups. As you saw through our conversation today, with the amount of uncertainty, I don't necessarily know if all those groups know the level of uncertainty. And when you marry that with the amount of work that they're going to have to do to support that, you're going to want to get in front of that right now.
I was just about to ask you, you know, is there anything else about you or your firm that we've not talked about today that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, and thank you for that. I think the only thing that I think we could do is take it to the next step. And what I mean by that is that one of the things that Burnham's been doing is what I'm calling a complementary healthcare reform readiness analysis. And what that would talk about is what we discussed through our interview today. So really taking a look at, from a provision standpoint, a communication standpoint, and otherwise, how ready is a respective employer for taking on healthcare reform. And what I would be happy to do is share my information. And if anyone wanted to get in touch with me, I could talk them through putting that respective readiness analysis together for them, to which I think would put them in a really good position moving forward internally, not only for themselves and their employees, but for even senior management in some situations.
Okay, great. So that leads us to the question of how do they get in touch with you to take advantage of that?
If anyone's interested, I maybe reached it. I'll give you a few different ways. The first way would be email, and that would be my email address is bray@burnhambenefits.com. That would be B-R-A-Y at B-U-R-N-H-A-M-B-E-N-E-F-I-T-S.com. That's my email address. Or 949-252-4572. And if anybody's interested in learning more about Burnham Benefits in general, I'd encourage them to go to our website at www.burnhambenefits.com, where we do even have a section on healthcare reform. So with regards to that readiness analysis, I'd be more than happy to do that for any of your listeners.
Great. And anything else that you want to share, Ed?
No, I think that we've pretty much covered it. You know, certainly it is the wild, wild west out there with regards to healthcare reform. You know, certainly there's going to be a lot of work to be done over these next few years. I would just really encourage employers, if they haven't taken a good look into it, to start doing so, because those provision effective dates are going to come up real soon. And we at Burnham certainly have supplemented or fortified ourselves internally to handle healthcare reform for our respective client base and anyone else who might be interested.
Okay, great. Well, Ed, look, thank you very much for being with us today. I apologize for our technical difficulties, but that does not take away from the value of the information that you shared.
Not a problem at all. Thanks so much, Doug, for your time, and I appreciate it.
All right. Have a nice evening.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Well, let me tell you, we've got some great shows lined up for you this week. We're back to our regular schedule with the full plate for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Wednesday, we have some great topics for you, to market, which is a discussion with Ricci's Bird Advertising, talking about how you can get better performance by focusing on your services or products. We have a second guest talking about We Are All Travelers. This is Mitch Stewart, Inc., talking about incentive travel products. And on Thursday, now Rick, my partner, business partner, Rick Franzi, is going to be doing both Wednesday and Thursday. Thursday, his guest is going to be Laga Designs. They're going to talk about It's in the Bag. This is efforts in Indonesia to help support the tsunami survivors there and some of the talented artisans making handbags that represent their hope for the future. And if you can believe it, our last segment for the week on Thursday is going to be Wag the Tail. We have a very entrepreneurial recent Cal State University Fullerton graduate talking about his first product, hands-free pet walking. Well, what do you know about that? So, hey, if you're interested, we've got it. Everything from soup to nuts, and that's really the way business is these days. So be sure to tune in. Also, be sure to check out our website, www.criticalmassforbusiness. That's criticalmassforbusiness.com, where you can find out more about our radio show, our CEO peer groups, all under the banner of Renaissance Executive Forums, and more about our executive coaching services that we've been offering here in Orange County, California. So this is Doug Gefeller on behalf of my business partner, Rick Franzi, and I. I'd like to just wish you a welcome back from the 4th of July weekend and have a great week. And here's hoping that we provided you with information that will help you make better business decisions. Mm-hmm.